Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. I'm going to continue today to talk about the beautiful story that unfolds in the Acts of the Apostles, of the apostles themselves who were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, who just weeks earlier were cowering in fear for their own lives and were totally confused as Jesus, their Lord, was arrested and crucified, and they watched him suffer and watched him from a distance, a safe distance. That same group of apostles now, filled with the Holy Spirit, new power, new life, new courage, new boldness is what fundamentally characterizes their life, a passionate love for Christ, unity in the Holy Spirit together. The church is building. People are being baptized. They're coming into the life of the church. And in the midst of all that joy and the amazing transformation that's happening through their preaching, through their life, through their ministry, they come up against fierce opposition. And they weren't surprised by it. They knew. I think once Jesus appeared to them after the resurrection, and Peter, he forgave them, and he told them about the mission he was sending them on. Can you imagine those brothers and those who were all the other apostles, the disciples saying, he's giving us a second chance. We're not going to blow it this time. From now on, we're going to be faithful to him. And they knew they could do it because he gave them the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we can just overcome by our own willpower. Christianity is not just simply the engagement of willpower toward a goal. Christianity is a new life in the Holy Spirit. As we ended yesterday's program, an angel had appeared to Peter, the apostles who were arrested by the religious leaders, rulers, and elders, and they were thrown into prison. And while they were in prison at night, the angel came to them and opened the gate of the prison, opened the prison doors, and told them to go back out and to preach the gospel and to tell everyone about this life. This life, which is what life is, that it's the new life in Christ. It's the resurrection of the dead. It's the beginning of the new creation, that thing the Father has done through his Son Jesus to make it possible for a race of people to literally be born again into something entirely new. Existence beyond death, sharing in the life of Jesus, who now reigns at the right hand of the Father in glory. Amazing. Verse 21, he says, and when they had heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and they taught. Now, the very thing they were warned not to do, the apostles went right back to the place the religious leaders told them they should never speak again of the name of Jesus. The reading goes on. It says, now the high priest came and those who were with him and called together the council and all the Senate of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought back. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison, and they returned and reported. We found the prison securely locked and the sentries standing at the doors, but when we opened it, we found no one inside. Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were much perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and they're teaching the people. Then the captain of the officers went and brought them, but without violence, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. So the people were beginning to follow Peter and the apostles. And the religious leaders, just as was the case with Jesus, they found themselves in a pickle, in a difficult situation. So they quietly bring them before them. They're arrested. And it goes on, it says, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. So they were scared about what was building. First of all, they did not want this counter message to be proclaimed in the temple or in Jerusalem, that Jesus Christ, whom they crucified, was alive, and that he's now at the right hand of the Father, and that his kingdom is unfolding through the teaching of the apostles. But let's hear what Peter says. I did love that line in verse 28 there, where he said, "We strictly charged you not to teach in his name." And as Peter said, we have to speak because we know it. It's real. We can't keep quiet. That's the heart of a Christian. The news we have is such good news. It's the news everyone needs to hear for the salvation of the world. And the one we love, Jesus, to this day, is still very much focused on extending his kingdom in the world. And he's counting on us to be his hands and his feet and to say yes to the doors that he opens for us to be able to proclaim along with the apostles the very words that Peter will speak here. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." There's the central message of Christianity. It's a nugget. It's called the kerygma. This is the germ cell from which the church is built. This is the message that the Holy Spirit wants communicated to every human heart. This is the reason the church exists, to extend this message, to proclaim this message throughout the entire world to everyone. And let's look at it kind of step by step. So the God of our fathers, he's speaking to the religious leaders. So who are our fathers? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right? The patriarchs, the prophets, and everyone. Moses. The God of our fathers, that same God, the God we're worshiping in the temple, he said, this God raised Jesus. So at the center of the proclamation is Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. He was dead, and now he's alive. And Peter goes on to say, he raised Jesus, whom you killed. So Peter isn't there blaming them in the sense of, I'm here to see that you get punished for what you did. But Peter's speaking the truth. You killed him. Another place, Paul will say, you killed him, God raised him. And that simple line is the core of Christianity. Christ was put to death for our sins, and he was raised for our justification. He was raised for us to have our sins forgiven and to be able to receive new life so we can actually have a future. Because friends, without Christ and his coming and the mercy sent through him by God the Father, there is no future for the human race. It's eternal separation from God. We're separated from the life of God because of sin, original sin, and sin's hold on us. So, Peter, the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior. So he was not only raised by God, but he was exalted. What does he mean? That means he was raised and then he ascended into heaven in ascension. Remember how he ascended in his body. It's not just his spirit that was raised, or as a priest told me many years ago, but this priest changed his mind on this, thank God, that Jesus was not bodily raised, but just raised in the minds of the apostles through the help of the Holy Spirit, which is a fundamental heresy. And thanks be to God, this priest changed his mind on that, began to preach the gospel the way he was supposed to preach the gospel. He repented and changed his ways. No, Christianity is the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And in his body, you know, the Son of Mary, the man from Nazareth, is living a new life, a life beyond death, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he ascends to the right hand of the Father. He's exalted by God. Why? He's exalted because of his victory over the powers of sin and death. He's exalted because of his faithfulness to the Father, that love triumphed through him in the faithful Son of the Father. And he's exalted and he's placed on the throne at the right hand of God. And all power and authority, this parallels the same message Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. God has highly exalted him. He has made him Lord in Christ. That is, all power and authority belong to Jesus. The whole destiny of human history, despite the fact that the world rages against the gospel, rages against the Lord, that the world lives almost totally indifferent to Jesus, doesn't matter. He is who he is, and he's the Lord of all. And human history and its destiny is in the hand of God, in the hand of Jesus Christ the Lord. And he will come again in glory to judge the living. And that's who Peter's speaking of here. He exalted him at his right hand as leader and Savior. Jesus is the only Savior. Remember, that's what Peter so clearly proclaimed. He's Savior because he alone is a perfect sacrifice for sin, who died on a cross and was raised from the dead, triumphed over the powers of sin and death. So God exalted him, raised him, and exalted him at his right hand as leader and Savior. For what purpose, Peter says? To give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. Friends, this is what the church is all about. To bring repentance and the possibility of true repentance and the forgiveness of sins to happen in this world. Nobody will be saved without having their sins forgiven. And the forgiveness of sins comes from one place, from Jesus, through his church, his instrument in this world. This is why we have to proclaim the gospel, not just to enhance people's life. I mean, sometimes the gospel today gets reduced to a message that says, you know, this is good for you because you'll feel better. You'll be happier. It'll enhance your life here on earth. You know, and it will do that. But guess what? It could also lead you to this persecution, and it's going to lead you to a place you may not want to go, which is saying no to yourself, to dying to self. It's militant in its core, this gospel. It's not just a fuzzy message to make us feel good. It's not Oprah's message, right? It's the message of following in the footsteps of Jesus, embracing the cross of Jesus Christ, and paying the price of being identified with him in our life, in the message, in the way we live, in a world that's hostile to God. There's a cost. Just ask our friends in China about it today. Christians, there's almost 100 million Christians in China, and they are under, don't kid yourself, they are under persecution, because the government is using all its force and power to not only contain the church, but to restrain it, and then to really oppress it, and to prevent it from being able to fulfill its mission. There's a price, there's a cost of following Jesus and identifying with him. And Peter goes on, he says, to bring repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, Peter says. Are we willing today and are we ready to say we're witnesses to the truth of Christ, to his gospel, to his offer of salvation, to the reality of the forgiveness of sins? And so is the Holy Spirit, Peter says, whom God has given to those who obey him. Friends, if you want to grow in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, get after the obedience to God the Father, to obeying his commandments, his will, to live the Great Commission, to walk in his mission. Now, Peter proclaims this message, and the next line, it says, when they heard this, that is the leaders, they were enraged, and they wanted to kill them. There's a lot more to this passage, but essentially what ended up happening is they beat the apostles. They beat them, and they sent them out and said, don't ever speak in his name again. But what happens? Peter and the apostles leave rejoicing because they were found worthy to suffer harm for the name of Jesus. And they went right back out and they began to preach and teach again. Let's follow in their footsteps, friends. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.